Your name?
Moses Kushabamureko.
Moses, where are you from?
I'm from Uganda, Gushenyi district.
Yeah. And how long you been in the U.S.?
Yeah, I've been here for close to 10 months. Yeah. I came in October last year, 2009, and Texas. So I'm here in D.C.
And what brought you from Uganda to Texas and now to D.C.?
I came because I was invited by an HIV/AIDS organization in South Padre. There was a conference, an HIV/AIDS conference, so I came and presented a paper on HIV/AIDS Ugandan situation.
What is the situation in Uganda with regards to HIV/AIDS?
Yeah, apparently the HIV/AIDS prevalence rate is on an increase compared to how it was in the past few years. Reason because people no longer see HIV/AIDS as a death sentence, so they have like relaxed. And maybe another reason could be that most of the government resources are now geared or put in the abstinence strategy rather than incorporating all the other components of the bigger strategy that the government used to use in the past, like, you know, bringing in, you know, the concept of being faithful and then using condoms. So that's why now we have the HIV prevalence rate going up.
In Uganda, you were part at boarding school, you were part of a program where you would use art and song to talk about HIV/AIDS and then bring it home to your home community. And actually, HIV/AIDS hit your family quite strong. Can you talk about that?
Yes, during the late 80s and early 90s, when I was at school, that's when the HIV/AIDS epidemic was, you know, high in Uganda. It was so strong and people were just like dying like dogs. And that's the time that the government decided that creating awareness of this HIV/AIDS could be best be done by children in schools. And so that's when the Ministry of Education decided to introduce music, dance, and drama with an intention of having HIV/AIDS messages, you know, passed on, you know, from school to the communities. And that's when I became so much involved in this because I was so much active in that. And the absurd thing was that despite of my efforts at school, you know, being involved with within the music, dance, and drama, that my parents and my last sister happened to be, you know, the first victims in my family to die of HIV/AIDS. So, yeah, and other people, of course, my uncles and my aunties have died, and others still have the disease now. So, it's really, really bad. But it was through that and people started coming out and dispelling the myth, you know, of HIV/AIDS. Instead of going to witch doctors, they started going, you know, to hospitals, and the government, you know, introduced medication and you know, the HIV/AIDS prevalence rate was very low, and that's why Uganda was like seen as a model to other African countries and actually the world in combating HIV and AIDS.
While the government was a model on dealing with HIV and AIDS, on other matters, for example, gay rights, the government of Uganda has not been very good. And this has something to do with the reason why when you came to the U.S. for the conference, you then did not return back to Uganda.
Yes. Well, other than, you know, being an HIV AIDS activist, I was also a gay rights activist. Although I wasn't so much popular in the country, I would help in terms of HIV and AIDS awareness and, you know, to the gay community. And we would do this through internet or having workshops for gay people. And so my coming was twofold: present at the HIV AIDS conference and then not go back.
Can you talk a bit more about what it was like to be gay in Uganda? You couldn't come out publicly. It was kind of an underground culture that you'd have to kind of move in the shadows of the society?
Yeah, definitely. Even up to now, the few people who have come out, you have to live in the closet and you have to get married, and that has to be arranged, because if you don't get married, then people will still ask you why you are not married. And I mean, your parents want to see their grandchildren. So that's why people have to like be in the closet. However, that doesn't mean that a few of the gay people have not come out. People come out, people are fault. The moment you come out, you have these, you know, problems. If you are, like, for instance, a school going, you know, student, then the moment they know you are gay, you are expelled from school, and that means your parents will not even pay your fees. So what happens? You have to be like a street kid and, you know, start using drugs and all that. If you are working and your organization gets to know that you are gay, you are fired, and you can't have, I mean, another job, because wherever you go, they will still ask you why you were fired from your past job, and so you go without a job. If, like, the people you stay with, you know, housing, you are found out to be gay, your landlord will definitely, you know, chase you. If for whatever reasons you are known to be gay and you happen to go for medical services, no one is going to attend to you. And you can't go to church, you can't have friends, you can't have family. I mean, and the media all the time is, you know, trying to come out and saying, you know, let's shame these people, let's expose these people who are trying to shame our community. And I mean, everything's just a mess. And, you know, the police will come and raid your house or your home, and you can't report anywhere. So it's been, you know, very hard. And, you know, even the coming out of this anti-homosexuality bill of 2009, where some of the articles were saying that if you are my friend or you are my father and you happen to know me as a gay person and you don't report me, then you also have a case to answer. You either go to jail or you pay a fine. Or if you're HIV positive and you happen to be gay, then you are killed. So it was such a terrible thing that has come to the country. And well, at times I blame it onto the US evangelicals that went to Uganda and debated about this with the parliament, and then, you know, after that conference they came up with the bill. It was so bad. Yeah, because even when people were gay in Uganda, you know, before this, the media exposing people out, people were okay. Yeah, you would still be gay and not be known and still live your life. Yeah.
But then U.S. evangelical Christians came over to Uganda and started having debates about how terrible homosexuality is, and that's when things started to really turn?
Yes, that was at the beginning of 2009. Yeah, they went and said that homosexuality was going to kill the African family, the African culture, and so they needed to introduce some strategies that would help the African people, you know, maintain their culture. And they were saying they had some therapies that would help cure this disease, and they said they had used those therapies here in the US and they had worked, and so people definitely had to welcome them because they were coming to, you know, to help the African family. I think that's why people are so much interested in that.
Moses, talk about the pressure. You mentioned it, but I'll talk about the pressure that you personally felt to get married and to have kids and to, you know, certainly not follow your conscience and come out and be gay. And you were married.
Yeah, I got married, and the reasons as to why I got married during that time, because as the head of the family, I had to get married. The head of the family, people usually see you as a person who is supposed to be an example. And here I was of age, but I wasn't getting married. And, you know, my aunties, my uncles were constantly asking why I wasn't getting married. And, of course, at times they would, you know, tell me that probably if I have any problem, then I should tell them, I should be open and tell them, and so that they can be able to help me. But I would still tell them that I was fine. And when I graduated, then they said, well, now that you have graduated, you need to get married. That should be the next step on your agenda. But I wasn't ready, so I said, no, I am not ready, because I have all these siblings of mine take care of. What I need to do is continue with my education, get a good job, and, you know, be able to support my family that has really suffered for a long time. So that's how it continued. The pressure continued, and then I got a job, and with the pressure, and then at my workplace, they knew that, they got to know that I was gay, and I had to deny. And so with that pressure, and, you know, pressure from my family, then, you know, my guardian decided to arrange the marriage, and that's how I got married. I had never even seen the girl, but I saw her, and within a very short time we got married. We got married, but of course we could not have sex, and so we had to seek for some, you know, medical intervention, and we were able to have a baby. Yeah.
You have a 2-year-old son?
Yeah, I have my 2-year-old son, and I love him so much.
What would happen if you went back to Uganda to visit him. You've spoken out publicly. What would happen if you returned?
I can imagine what would happen to me after having, you know, spoken out and humiliated my family, as they would, you know, feel, and it would be a bad story to tell. Definitely, I will have to go to jail, and I would not have any family. I would not, you know, you can't go to church. I would not go anywhere. I can't get a job, and that is fear. You live in fear the rest of your life, and that is what I wouldn't want to go through.
You could be imprisoned if you returned.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because I've spoken against this, and well, there are some people in Uganda, the gay people, that have been given amnesty by Amnesty International, but Amnesty International is not giving them jobs. It's, if you are expelled from school and your parents can't pay your fees, Amnesty International is not taking you to school. If you have no housing, Amnesty International is not giving you any housing. So granting, I mean, I can go back and they grant me amnesty, but it's not going to help me in any way.
Would you fear for your life?
Definitely, yes. I mean, I'll like be like a dead or a living dead person. I mean, you can't do anything. Yeah. My family itself will, you know, reject me. Yeah, I can't go anywhere.
The U.S. government is attempting to send you back to Uganda right now?
No, at the moment, no. It's not attempting to send me back, because I have all the opportunities to appeal my case. So, yeah, they have not like denied me asylum, no. So I still have the opportunity to appeal and to appeal my case, and the judge will decide.
Why have you chosen to speak out publicly at great risk to yourself?
I have decided to do this because I think it is an opportunity for me who have, I have a voice. I am free here. No one can do anything to me. I have all the protection that I need. And so that's why I've decided to be a voice to the voiceless. There are many people in Uganda who are suffering because of who they are. And so, and they can't express themselves. So why can't I do this now that I have the opportunity to do it? I think, yeah, at one point in time, I know that U.S. was like this, like 50 or 40 years ago. People weren't free. People weren't able to speak out. If you are gay, you would be, you know, you would face the same, you know, problems people in Uganda are facing. And I think maybe if one or two or three people come out and keep on, you know, speaking and agitating for human rights for gay people, and you know, with the international pressure, you know, all people coming out, I think people will at one point in time be free. It might not be very soon, but people will be free.
Lastly, do you have any final thoughts that you have, Moses, and any message you have to the U.S. government about the importance of granting you asylum, so that you can stay here and continue, maybe come back to Washington, D.C. or wherever in the U.S. and continue your work?
Yeah, I think I do not want to have this on a personal basis, I think that the government, first of all, I have to thank like all the people that have spoken out, you know, the Secretary of State, you know, President Obama, you know, and other people coming out and speaking about the outrageous, you know, all the bill that is taking, you know, going on in Uganda and all, everything that is taking place, and people are speaking against that, and even other countries, people are speaking out against this, and I think the more people continue to talk about this, and the more people see people like me who have lived that life, I think they get more motivated to continue doing the same. And as I said, at one point in time, it might not be tomorrow, people will be free. I think, yeah, that's the message that I can leave, that the struggle still continues, and so people need to keep on fighting.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Pete.